Hello, this is Jim the Keys bartender coming to you from, once again, Key Largo. Oh, excuse me. Let me clear my throat. That was the beginning of a song from the 80s. A little scratchy throat. I'm feeling good, feeling great, feeling productive. And the old saying is, make hay when the sun shines. And the Keys Bartender Show is about bartending. And I'll tell you, yeah, again, I mentioned maybe in previous shows and all that, being an older bartender is not for the faint of heart. Gentlemen and ladies, or ladies and gentlemen, you work with younger people that, you start questioning and say, why are these younger people running circles around me and stuff like that? I have so many skills that go around for the longest time. I've ran into so many situations I've experienced. I should be the one, because my fitness level and my mental acuity, I should be the one running circles around them. Around them. It shouldn't be seen with self-doubt. And yes, in the previous months, I've been filled with self-doubt. It is great working with younger people and energetic people. But I'll tell you what. There are some younger people that don't like being told what to do, and some people that seek out your experience. And maybe they seek out, sometimes they seek out your experience because you're very kind about dispensing, and other times they don't think you're kind. So, yeah, it's not for the faint of heart being an older bartender working with younger people. If you're working in a place and you're just a solo bartender, you don't have to compare yourself. But when you see other ones, you go, wow. You see, sometimes they're on top of it, sometimes they're rather regimented. Like they think, well, we've got to put out the waters and then we got to do the drinks and do this. And, multitasking, when you get a lot of drink orders, say they sometimes a younger bartender really doesn't know how to do the rules of operation. If you have several drinks, like whenever you have a drink that is overly, I'll use food terminology right now, overly processed cocktails, multiple drinks, and they have to look a certain way. You got to have a certain amount of froth on it, like shaken, and you want it to be extra chilled, served up. Those up drinks on the rocks, you can make first. Up drinks should be last, as well as your beers. Beers are cooking, so you should just do those right at the end. And the wines, you could knock out the wines real quick. Yes. You see wines, pour the wines first. Shouldn't wait for a drink order because you're brewing wine. Pour the wines first. Wines, the quality of them aren't going to deteriorate. Right? But when those last ones you pour are the ultra processed, multiple ingredient up drinks, because they got to get to them fast. The thing about up drinks is, I never understand. I want an extra chilled martini within 2 minutes. Within 2 minutes, that martini is racing. The temperature gradient is changing to where it wants to reach a homeostasis with the temperature of the room. Unless you're one of those ice bars, where the bar's made of ice, the tables are made of ice, the glasses are frozen. I mean, the glasses could be made out of ice. Your drink's going to get, within 5, 10 minutes, it's going to be very close to room temperature. So the first drink, if you need to have it super cold, is super cold. But then the last drink, you're drinking a piss warm drink. So you make those last. And that's one of these things that comes with age. You know that. You look at that drink and say, oh, I'm going to do that one last. I'm gonna do that one last. I'm going to get it to them and stuff like that. And you say, listen, and you don't want the drinks in there for so long if you're a server. Make sure you get your ass up there and get those drinks out. If you got a lot of martinis, you don't want them sitting there. You get, unless, obviously, it's a neat drink. And when I say neat, this is also what, I have to tell them, neat. I have to tell everyone in the thing, neat means it's poured right in the glass. Not a chilled glass, room temperature glass, clean, They know about clean. I'll tell you that. That's a great thing with the young eyesight. The things where a young bartender will automatically be better than an older bartender in general is eyesight and knowing that clean glass. There you go. You already start. I just tell them like this. Don't worry. There's already things you do better than me. You spot a dirty glass quicker. And here's another. Here's another. What would you call that? Feather for your cap. You don't have to stop and pee as much. Yeah, there you're already there. These are non-skill related, but they are qualities. Skill is a quality, and experience is a quality. You can't say you can have knowledge. You can go to bartending school and have knowledge, but it's when it's experience and skill, and there's some natural abilities if you're smooth. I'm not smooth. Almost everything I achieved is I've achieved through a lot of clumsiness and adapting my clumsy skills. It's kind of like a special kung fu quality. If you watch the martial arts movies, there was someone, I have crane style. And you says, my crane style can beat your alligator style or monkey style. Your monkey kung fu cannot defeat my python style. It's all movements or drunken. Did I say the drunken monkey kung fu thing? And it was all in the martial arts. And they were saying, they pretend that, I guess the drunken monkey, their hands are flying all over the place, but they end up kicking 20 guys' asses or 20 guys and girls' asses nowadays, which I'm not saying ruefully or anything like that because they were stupid movies anyway. Now women can make stupid movies just like men did. Used to be women might make kind of thinky movies, but now they're enjoying that equal equality with men, and you can make the same amount of stupid choices as men make. I don't know why I segued into that. Let's get back to the bartending part. So all these things, when I'm working with them, you see the vitality of the people, and they're always naturally through their lack of forecasting ability, looking into the night and seeing, well, this is going to be a good night, it's going to be a bad night. And being an older bartender or experienced bartender, you can look into the night and say, boy, things are not going well tonight. The people I'm working with are not on the ball. It's going to be a tough night. And a tough night. And your head starts telling you something. When your head starts telling you something isn't right, it's really hard to change your mind. I know. When your mind tells you something and you accept it, it's really hard to turn that boat around. I don't know if you know about that, but the bigger the ship, the longer it takes to turn it. And the same thing goes for the mind. The more experience you have, and once your mind starts doing it, it starts reinforcing those ideas. And the only way I've learned or happened upon being able to change those ideas, and much like in life, is trying to change things up in a positive way. And it's hard to do at work when you're under stress. If you got people telling you to do things and you have like five different managers coming at you and telling you, well, we want you to do this, and the managers aren't on the same page and don't necessarily have the same information as each other. And they may have the little quirks. And when you have a lot, this is just a little things I came into recently came into knowledge about or experience is that the more people there are in a supervisory management position, the more they need to make their imprint on what they're doing. And they have to, when you have multiple managers, a high, let's say, a very flat pyramid, where you may have four managers and six employees. Yes. It's like having four parents telling one child what to do. And all the parents don't have, they have the same goal, but they all have different strategies on how to achieve it. So you got to deal with that too. And you might think in your head as an older bartender, say, well, I know I'm here to make the customer happy, to put a, and part of that is doing, performing excellent service, serving a quality product, and doing it in an efficient manner with a positive attitude. Okay. But then you also have to balance that with people stopping you and telling you to do it a different way, not the way you learned over years. And I do understand the theory that we'd rather teach you to do it our way than break some, and we'd rather teach a new person on how to do it our way than break someone of what they consider bad habit. That's, the people, that are in supervisory managing position, and the experienced person sees it as a efficient way of performing your duties, and that becomes it. And there's one thing I always say: when it's super busy, those procedures and those management skills fall by the wayside. Because you have to be creative to achieve your goal. You have to be creative. You want to put out product, take care of people, and you have to be creative about just powering through. Sometimes you think, hey, at the end, if you notice you're a more experienced bartender, you say, for instance, you serve white wine. It would make sense that you have restocked your wine fridge hours before you open, especially white wine fridge, because the temperature has to get a little lower if you're taking it from a room temperature storage. And you'd have to impart that information to a manager and say, listen, I don't want to overstep my bounds, but it's important that, and they go, well, restock it. I said, well, I understand, but if you wait for me to restock it, you'll only get it restocked with it cool when I'm here early enough to do that. Now, if you teach everyone that it's important to have this restocked hours before, then you won't run into this problem. And then the manager does not want to be told what to do. They want to gloss over it because, it's just a chink in their armor and say, it's great. Thank you. I'm here. If a confident manager says, listen, I'm hearing managing operations, but your experience helps. Your experience helps. But sometimes they just don't want to hear it. They talk. I see a lot of times I have seen a bunch of the managers adhere, they play to the crowd. And if you talk to inexperienced people, if you're a manager and you're instructing inexperienced people how to do things, they're more receptive of it because they don't even know what you're talking about in the beginning. You're just informed, giving them new information. If you tell a group of experienced people, they might say, okay, yes, nod their head, okay. They won't go, wow, that's, some of the things are obvious. Yes, you should serve call to order, But then the other things they tell you is about something amazing, So we're going to start doing this and we're going to fold our napkins this way. We need you to fold it this way. You need to do it and say, listen, it's not a skill I've mastered as a bartender, folding napkins. Well, maybe you should. I said, well, that's not really a bartending skill. There's some bartenders that can, yeah, they can make origami figures out of their napkins. And there's also people that juggle bottles. I do notice that about people, some people that do the flair bartending. It's wonderful. It's wonderful. But the thing about the, it's like being a master juggler. You got the people who can juggle, that do the pins, the weighted pins. And when you learn on the weighted pins, they look like bowling pins, right? I mean, they could be bowling pins and they're flipping them up, juggling pins. And they're equally weighted so they can do maybe up to five. I don't know what the juggling thing is, but at least four. I mean, you start out with three or two or one, whatever. And well, you start out with one, but then you add two and then, but standard people, if you don't juggle three, people don't really want to see it, right? Well, when you're doing that bottle spinning thing, you have so many different things about bottle spinning because the weight changes on bottles when the liquor is taken out of it. So you're never getting to a point where you automatically know the weight and the speed of the spin of the bottle, right? And when you're spinning jiggers and all this stuff, and every so often you're going to break a glass. And if you're doing any spinning near a speed well or an ice well, you're going to break a glass near there, which necessitates the melting of the ice. And you have to weigh with the ideas, how important is this flare next to the inconvenience of having to burn the ice in the middle of a busy shift? Is it important that people saw you spin the thing, or is it important that you serve them a drink in a timely manner? I think it's important that you serve them a drink in a timely manner. And I would tell people, hey, stop doing the flare stuff and make the goddamn drink. Tom Cruise. But then again, the older bartender, if you saw the movie Cocktail, I keep on forgetting his name. Brian Brown's character. Beer is for breakfast. I gotta think what his name is. Whatever his name was in it. But then I don't remember Tom Cruise's thing. He should have known better. You're not flipping bottles back and forth and dancing and stuff like that. I'm a bartender, not an entertainer, but I guess there could be an entertainer there. I used to love going to a restaurant called Victor's Cafe. And every so often you'd hear a ringing of a bell. And all of a sudden everyone would go quiet. And a server or bartender would break into an operatic area. And it was beautiful. And you went there for that. So that's that. But not everyone has to stop. Just because they were doing it at Victor's Cafe doesn't mean every server should stop. There is a place for servers that are really good at serving and taking care of customers. They don't all have to sing opera. I'll be back. Well, hello, I'm back. I just came. I was going to say, I'm not going to tell you about my bathroom trip or anything. I didn't go to the bathroom. So don't guess. Why does he make a break then? Why is it always at like 17 or at most 19 minutes? Does he have to stop and pee that often? No, I don't. And you know what? That's a very personal question. Just kidding. I just do the break just for the heck of it to kind of delineate the first half of the show, the second half of the show. But it doesn't have to be perfect. Doesn't have to be 15 minutes. Could be 19 minutes. Another reason why I don't go on for long runs, I wish I could sometimes, is they didn't really allow me to go more than, I think, 20 minutes, because 30 minutes it wouldn't save, it wouldn't transport into my editing tool app, the amount of editing I do, which is I just take the episode and I push it over, and click and push over to the side, and then put the music in the beginning and the music in the end. So it wouldn't allow me to do real long segments. So, and then maybe it was the universe or the sophomore or the artificial intelligence gods that are on their way to take over. You know what, Jim? You got a little too long-winded, and we'll do that. We're going to do that. We're just going to cut you short. And it's not about me, it's everyone else too, I think. Or someone says, well, other people on Spotify can do it. Why can't you, Jim? I don't know how to do it. Get over it. Enough about that. Okay. I don't know. I hope I always wanted to be one of those people where I don't speak, hold a grudge. And that is for ex-employers, ex-coworkers, ex-exes. It's just one of those people, unless it's like the great evil people of the world, Jack the Ripper. It's a horrible, horrible, I mean, I can't, you know what? There's definitely, and women have to catch up. Women have to catch up in the big villain category because there's a lot more guy villains I could think off the top of my head. Or maybe it's just historically, just men are recorded more that way. So, you know, women, do your job. You're gonna have to get a little more evil. So, but speaking ill, a lot of times I just have this feeling that it's more of my issue than the issue with the other person. Like if I was unhappy with a job, it's not necessarily with the people that I was with or the ownership or the manager. It was just the whole situation. It was more of how I felt my place was, either in that job or in that relationship or that situation. It could have been things I was doing. And I could be coloring my editorials about the thing, the place, the circumstance, the person with the way I was behaving or the way I was feeling. And if you notice today, like here I'm doing like two episodes back to back. I was blaming the blood thinner, or I was blaming the illness. And I did mention prior to COVID that I was feeling really a bit encumbered in the brain, slowed down. Like there were speed bumps. Speed bump. I think that is that a speed bump? Or it was like slogging through deep snow. Right? Maybe that's better. Slogging through deep snow. And that's what it felt like when you're thinking process for if you listen to the last couple episodes. I mean, you're gonna be able to put those in there, and you probably say, Jim, we demand a drug test too. Because we don't know if you're affected by it. No, it's just amoxicillin and ibuprofen and one less blood thinner. And I did eat a banana. I gotta get eat something before I go to the gym. I'm going to the gym. I'm going to the gym before I go to one of my meetings. Isn't that crazy? Just the way I'm doing things today. You know, I'm just feeling it. I'm really feeling it. The old days. Maybe I'm feeling it's as if I always thought when I was doing the podcast that I eventually would get to a point where the words would just flow from me in a natural stream of consciousness. And the experience of speaking to you, and I do mean you, would become second nature. And then I would keep things in order and not lose that flow, as if I almost did, not speaking ill of X's. I know in the hundreds of episodes I've done that I probably picked up that, but I think I did it as a side. It's important. You know, there are great evils in the world. And it's important if you come into contact with the great evil, like if you find out someone might be a serial killer or, you know, an evil drug dealer, and all those other things, you know what it is. I mean, obviously, you have a moral compass. It's important to testify, give testimony, to point things out that would better the world. But there's some things that are just personal. That don't change, that don't affect people's lives. These editorials that we make in ourselves about past situations. And it becomes worse when we go and we editorialize it in public. It's sometimes characterized as airing dirty laundry, and it's really not airing dirty laundry. If you're going to air dirty laundry, air your dirty laundry, not someone else's. Just because you disagree, perhaps, with the relationship concepts or managerial techniques, or an owner with the perhaps paying or utilizations of their employees. Everyone deals with their own issues. And they don't really need, they, you know, the best kind of realization you get is not realization necessarily from outside you. It's from an accepting that realization. I've had for years people tell me when I was drinking that, Jim, you drink too much. Maybe you shouldn't drink this. Maybe you shouldn't drink that. The commonality I should have found out, not one in particular that one person didn't like me, is that so many people were telling me that drinking was a problem that I should have just looked at. I should have, once I accepted that myself, once I accepted that drinking was a problem myself, then I dealt with it myself. And then I didn't internalize it. I didn't view it as someone saying, they think I drink too much. There are people out there, and or they think I smoke too much. They think I shouldn't eat 5 pounds of bacon a day. I know. 5 pounds of bacon. I didn't eat 5 pounds of bacon, but I've been known to eat a pound of bacon or 10 ounces, whatever the package is. Eating the whole package of bacon. That is too much animal fat. I mean, that's like going across the prairie and eating your food because, you know, it's going to go rancid. Better cook it. Or it's no good. Can't waste it. That's my, I guess that's my pioneer voice. So I think a lot of times when we think about that, when we talk about things that have gone bad in the past or going bad now, when we talk poorly about someone, he said, it's like if you speak poorly about someone, you and you got to the point that you need to speak poorly about someone or institution or something like that. There are times when, yes, there it's an overwhelming, it's usually a minority issue. When I say the overwhelming majority of the issues are mostly with ourselves. We're unhappy with the place, we're unhappy relationship and all these things. So you can make that change when it's you, the change, you can make that change. You're rarely going to change someone else. You're really going to change someone else unless a person say, I'm going to allow you to make a change in me. How many people say that? I'm going to accept what you have to say about me. I'm going to make the change. And who's to say that the change you want to make is correct? Have you ever been wrong? I mean, I know I've been wrong. And I could look at someone and say, listen, I'm really not appreciative of your authoritarian style, and that you're kind of manic on how you handle situations. You go from one point, maybe you may be one of these people who say, I'm a very fair individual, but if something happens, you're gone immediately. No discussion. Well, you just said one thing. You're saying very fair individual. A very fair individual will hear the other side of the argument. Letting someone go immediately, no questions or dispute, that is intractable. So they're diametrically opposed. That's different. And you know, it's you don't have to be. A lot of times, when I'm not feeling well, if I'm not feeling optimum, I direct a lot of energy inside about feeling bad, and then my ego says, "No, it's not you, it's them." When it's actually is you, but it's not the things you think that's about you. It's you having low energy, you're not feeling too well, and it'll tell those, you know, you only have two choices, either me or them. Or it's a mishmash of those things. It's not necessarily all those things. Yes, it could be them. There are abusive people out there. And yes, it could be you. But a lot of times it could be your circumstances, and a lot of it could be brought on and changed ourselves, where we can just do the utmost to put ourselves in the right position. Do the utmost to be put ourselves in the right position, feel the right way, get the right amount of rest, get the right amount of nourishment, healing. I mean, God, there's people out there with horrible situations that are able to carry on through a hardship. I don't know if you guys can hear this. In the background, there's a bunch of Latin guys at a building site down the street. And you're having quite the animated conversation. I mean, it's a building site. And it sounds like they're arguing over the construction of a pinata. You know? It was, oh, no, that's a donkey. No, it looks like a mule. Okay. Yeah, that sounds like, yeah, they were arguing. Is it? But in a, they're having it in a kind of like a friendly dispute. They're having a friendly dispute. A friendly dispute in Spanish. I can tell now when you hear people talking, you can tell. You ever hear that? You have a, you know, foreign language, and you say, well, that's a discussion, or that's obviously there's one boisterous Mexican over there. And then another one is a friend, and he's talking back, and they're going back and forth. You know? No, the porta potty is locked. Something, whatever. Spanish word is for that. Okay, well, I think I spoke enough for today. I do appreciate you taking the time to listen to me. I've had, for some reason, I didn't put anything out there for last week and a half or 3 weeks. I wasn't feeling too good. I was feeling tired, the change in the hours. As I was saying, I may have, gosh, I'm going to make a public thing. I may have made a wrong decision because I can't handle late nights on a regular basis because I was saying, you know, I know bartending is a late night occupation, but fortunately down here I wasn't working in a place that was too late. I thought used to think 11:30, 12 o'clock at night was late. Now getting home at 1:30, 2 o'clock, and then driving, phew, it is not for me after working 9 hours. It is not for me. I'm a day guy. I'm day man. Fighter of the night man. If you're a fan of Always Sunny in Philadelphia, you'll get that reference. For all you others, it's a comedy reference that you may not find funny at all. But yes, and I do not blame that because you know bars are late night. Some places open to 3, 4 in the morning, and there's they get hire people to do that. And the thing about people that do the real late night thing, there's a rarity when you find sober individuals that are comfortable working late nights. It's a rarity. I haven't seen that. It's people that, you know, they don't go out during the daytime and things like you can't. How can you go out in the daytime all the time if you're staying up till, you know, if you're working till 3 in the morning, and then you get home, you know, by the time you get home, it's 4:30. It's a, you know, it's 1 hour and 45 minutes of dawn. You know, usually sleep through the best part of the day. I always think morning is the best part of the day. Sometimes sunset, my night, you know, or morning starts cooling down. So yeah, I may have made a strategic error. It has nothing to do with the businesses you know I work at, and they will hear, you know, it's not a secret. I hear my squeaky chair. It's not a secret that I'm not really good at that, at the super late nights. But I'm strong at 10 and 11, and that's PM and AM. I'm a good daytime guy to in the evening, but when it gets to the wee hours of the morning, boy, that is for in my head, it's kind of like the purview of people that are young people, vampires, and sociopathic killers or psychopathic killers. Yeah. You know, it's funny I said I threw young people in there. It's just the way their energy is. They got to burn themselves out. They got to burn themselves out, and then they got to sleep like 10 hours. Oh, I like getting my 8 hours. I do. I would love to get my 8 hours. And one of these days, I'm going to get my 8 hours. That's going to be fabulous. I mean, last night I got about 7. Oh, I feel great. Okay, well, I will be back. I know I said goodbye once, so I'm going to say goodbye again. I'm wishing you all the best, and I will be talking to you later. Bye.